Good day, and welcome everyone to the UBS Energy Transition Call with Daigo Energy. My name is Matt, and I'll be your operator today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone, and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties that this conference is being recorded. And with that, let me hand it over to John Windham. John, please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Matt, and welcome to the latest installment of the UBS Energy Transition Call Series. So in this call series, which I've been running since 2018, we try to connect UBS institutional investor clients with energy experts and innovative companies that are in some way enabling or driving the energy transition. So as usual, this is your host, John Windham. I head up Alternative Energy and Environmental Services Equity Research here at UBS, and we have a repeat guest today. We'll be talking distributed solar and storage with Taigo Energy. They won about a year ago, so really interested in catching up on their progress. Just as some background, Taigo designs innovative solar power conversion and storage products that provide customers with choice and flexibility. Their product combines its Flex MLP, or module level power electronics, and solar optimizer technology with intelligent cloud-based software capabilities for advanced energy monitoring and control. The company also develops and manufactures inverters and battery storage systems for residential solar plus storage market. As some background, on the 6th of December last year, Taigo announced a business combination with Roth CH Acquisition Forco. Upon closing, which is expected in the first half of this year, Taigo Energy is expected to be listed on the NASDAQ under ticker TYGO. Very happy to have with us on the call today from Taigo Energy, Zivi Alon and Bill Roslin, who's the CFO. Zivi is the CEO and chairman. So first, before I hand it over to Zivi for some opening comments, just some logistics for the call today. First, there are slides to accompany today's discussion. They were distributed via email to pre-registered participants about 15 minutes ago. Second, there will be an opportunity for Q&A after the presentation. I know many of you prefer to email me questions, and I will ask them anonymously for you as time permits. So if you found your way to this call series, I'm sure you have my email, but it's john.windham, W-I-N-D-H-A-M, at ubs.com. And then lastly, as a UBS research analyst, I'm required to provide certain disclosures related to the nature of my relationship and that of UBS with any company discussed on today's call. A full list of disclosures is available on ubs.com/disclosures, or alternatively, do feel free to email me. And then lastly, this call in and of itself is not a recommendation by UBS to transact in any security. All right. With a lot of that out of the way, thank you so much for coming back on the call series. Obviously, it's been a busy year for you, and look forward to you being in the public equity markets here relatively soon. So, Zivi, why don't I turn it over to you, and thank you so much for you and Bill being here today.
Thank you, John, for hosting us. We are really looking forward, and I'm happy that you showed the presentation, so it might make things much easier. So I don't know if you guys had a chance to open the presentation or look through it. I'm going to highlight the various pages that I'm going to actually following in my presentation. And as John said, if you have any questions, feel free to obviously try and send it my way. Every good presentation has a disclaimer, so you might skip the first few pages. And actually go straight to page number six, which is the Taigo mission, really. So we can skip the information on the Roth Capital and the pictures. As far as the Taigo mission, we deliver hardware and software solutions to the solar energy generation business, and which is addressing specifically three different major components. One is safety. We've been shipping solutions to increase the safety of systems now for 5, 6, 7 years. We are the leader in the world. The second piece which we are doing is our products are increasing the yield, the energy generated by those systems, and therefore resulting in low operating costs and increasing ROI. If you go to page 7, we provide you a bit of the highlights before we get into all the details. on the investment itself, which we believe is going to be completed sometime in Q2. We provide a higher ROI to customers by virtue of lowering the cost of various components, the CapEx, and increasing the energy. We've been experiencing rapid growth in revenue. We just announced earlier last week that we closed last year over $80 million in sales. Just to give you an idea, profitable, 30% gross margin. We have a very strong management team in place, which is helping us drive this company forward with 150 years of combined experience, management experience. We have very strong portfolio of patents, 138 patents, a sizable number of customers, and we are profitable. If we jump over to slide number nine, just to give you an idea about the market itself. It's a very big market, over $120 billion, composed of the two major components, about $14 billion for the module-level power electronics, and I'm going to get into more specifics later so you'll get to understand what they do and what they are. For the EI solutions, the storage, over $110 billion globally. It's a very, very sizable market, as you can tell. To get into the Tigo business itself, if we can go to page 11, please. We market better solutions to the energy sector to generate more electricity, as I said, from the solar systems. The company is selling products globally in seven continents. We have installations. The major two markets are Europe and North America. We have experienced a very fast growth in generating of both revenue as well as bookings in Europe last year. We grew from about 35%-40% ratio for the bookings and revenue in 2021 for both Europe and U.S. to about 64% of the revenue came to us from Europe, which we feel is very strong, and 77% of our booking came from Europe. Needless to say that with the advent of the announcements of the IRA and the clarifications which we are getting, we believe it will further increase the solar penetration in the U.S. as well. We foresee actually a fairly good positive outcome here in the near future. We've been gaining market share. We're growing faster than the market. We have cutting-edge storage solutions, which we introduced about a year ago, and we have been shipping now, and we have hundreds of installations both in the U.S. as well as in Europe. Our manufacturing is outsourced to contract manufacturers with our own control. It's a very light asset manufacturing process. We've, as I said before, accumulated over 400 customers. Just to give you an idea, some of them, CED Greentech is the largest distributor in the U.S., carries our products. Sunrun and ourselves entered into a supply agreement middle of last year. Sunrun is the single largest residential installer in the U.S. Kranich, Conergia, IBC, Tesla, just to give you some names, all representing the strengths of our customers. As I mentioned, we finished last year with about $81 million in sales, $2.5 million in EBITDA. As far as the distribution, 64% came from Europe and 27% came from the U.S., and about 10% came from the rest of the world. We're also very proud of the fact that Tigo's products are extremely high reliability with less than 0.2% returns, which is exceptionally slow in our market. If you jump into the next slide, which is slide 12, it highlights the various places where we play. Tigo plays a role between the panel, which is the PV panel, which everyone knows in the solar space, and that's on the left-hand side, to the grid on the right-hand side. MLPE, module-level power electronics, and I'm going to get into more specifics later, are the devices that sits They reside right behind the panel, and they are responsible for the various functions I mentioned before, the increase of energy as well as the safety. The storage solution is composed of three different components, an inverter, a battery, and an automatic transfer switch, which I will explain in greater details in a later slide. And then we bundle it with a software offering, which is providing the customer the ability to control, manage, monitor, lower the cost of operations and maintenance, and so on and so forth. If you go to the next slide, slide 13, it will give you, that picture will give you an idea of where are those components physically installed. So the modular power electronics resides underneath the panel, or normally on the rooftop or ground mount. All the other hardware devices, like the battery, the inverter, and the automatic transfer switch, normally on the side of the house or in the basement or some other place which is not too far from the panels themselves. And on the software, it's a normally SaaS-based software, runs on the cloud, and you can access it via two different means. One is your mobile phone, and the other one is a web browser. And from that perspective, that same architecture of installation is true globally, regardless of where we are being installing our products. To give you a little bit more highlights on the MLP and what they are, if you can jump to the next slide, then you see a picture of five different boxes with the title, the Tigo MLPE, family of MLPE solutions. So Tigo is uniquely positioned in the market to offer different price points for different functionality based on the customer's needs. Unlike our competition who offer all-in-one, just you get the whole functionality in just one, which is obviously more expensive. So we start on the left-hand side with the TS4AM, which is intended to provide monitoring capability to the customer and increasing the visibility of the production of energy by the system itself. The TS4AF and 2F are adding functionality in terms of safety. So in many places in the world, you cannot install a solar system without a rapid shutdown. And that's the option to turn off the panels in the event of an emergency. Tigo has been the leader in that space and still is. We started shipping those kinds of products in 2015, late 2014, and we have the largest market share in that space. The next product, the TS4AS, is combining monitoring as well as rapid shutdown into one package. And the last one is the TS4AO, which also adds optimization to the rapid shutdown capability and monitoring. In terms of pricing, the cheapest one would be the TS4AM on the left-hand side. The most expensive one with the most functionality is on the right-hand side. And just to give you an idea, in terms of the size, you can hold this package in the palm of your hand. So it's a fairly small package. And it takes about 10 seconds to install. And what's unique about our Tigo product offering, it works with any inverter in the market. We have thousands of inverters which are deployed, thousands of different unique size inverters, which are deployed globally from hundreds of suppliers. And that's it makes us essentially friendly with pretty much any other solution provider in the market itself. As I mentioned also, they are exceptionally reliable, and also it's a single device that covers the whole spectrum. So it goes to residential CNI market, as well as utility scale solutions. If you can move to the next slide, please, 15. You would see that slide talks about the various market segments. And I mentioned to you already earlier that what's unique about the Tigo product is that it addresses pretty much all the three market segments, the residential, the CNI commercial, and utility scale. And it's the same exact identical product, which is also a very unique value proposition from Tigo, and the only one that is doing it, actually. So the top right-hand side picture is an actual installation of a residential system in Australia. As in, you can see, the trees in the background impose some shade on the panels to address that shade deficiency or the impact of the shade on the panels. The customer deployed the TS4AO, which is the optimizers from Tigo, and they reclaimed the energy. Similarly, the next picture in the center, the commercial site, is a half a megawatt site in California. In that particular case, the customer was very much interested in making sure that they have availability of energy pretty much all the time, and to do so, obviously, they wanted to have visibility into the production at any given time, and in the event there is any variation, they will be able to address it immediately and not wait for the monthly bill to figure out that something happened. So they deployed the monitoring capability. The last one, the last picture on the bottom part, the utility scale, happens to be a floating system in the Golan Heights in Israel, and it has it's a 60-megawatt system with over 30,000 panels in a single system. And what's unique about the Tigo solution, it's the same product that can be interchanged between all those different market segments. So the customer did not have to buy a specific product for a specific market segment like they have to do with our competition. The next slide, 16, is helping us understand what is the energy intelligence solution or the storage solution. It has, the solution itself has three different components, the Tigo inverter, the Tigo battery, and the modular power electronics, which goes with each and every one of the installations. The system that we actually deployed and are selling addresses the residential market in the low end of the CNI market, up to 15 kilowatt hour, and it comes with some fairly interesting attributes. The software that comes with the system allows the customer to manage all their energy needs, critical loads, and others, do net zero in the event that they need to make sure that they do not pump any energy into the grid itself. Time of use, if they want to make sure that it gets used only in the peak time of the solar or charges the battery from the grid at night and discharges it during the day to save energy cost, and all that stuff is all built into the system itself. Some other attribute which is also very critical, and customers and installers love it, the installation time, commissioning time, takes about 10 minutes. Which is unlike several hours by a competitor's product. This is common also to the modular power electronics components. The modular power electronics to install each takes about 10 seconds. You literally just slide it on the panel and connect the wires and you're done. On the next slide, we are highlighting the software offering which we have. It is composed of four different components, and it starts with the design and origination of the system itself, so a set of tools that help the customer do the design of the system. The next tool is premium monitoring, which collects data in real time, and yet another differentiator from Tigo is that we collect the data at the fastest speed compared to anyone else in the market. We then add analytics and maintenance, various components to help the customer improve the dealing with the operation side of the system itself. And last but not least, a set of tools that allow the customers to do system optimization and grid services. Most recent one we just added is the ability to predict production and consumption as well. The technology advantages in the next slide, which is number 18, As I mentioned earlier, we have 138 patents. We offer various features, functions like selective deployment, so customers can actually lower the cost of the usages of those solutions, and they can deploy it only when they need it or where they need it, as opposed to at 100% deployment, like some of the competitors' products are suggesting. The energy storage architecture, which we have, which is a DC-coupled architecture, allows for much more energy efficiency production. We save upwards to 7.5% in the overall system in terms of energy, which is quite a bit. Compatible with pretty much any panel, and similarly our reliability, as I mentioned earlier, we highlight multiple times, and we're very exceptionally happy about it. On the next slide, 19, we want to share with you that obviously it's all a result of a heavy investment in research and development, both hardware as well as software, and the allocation of the various patents. Some of the unique features of our products is, as I mentioned before, it's one single product that can address any one of the market segments, whether it is the residential, CNI, or utility scale. And also another unique feature is that it's a single product that supports pretty much 100% of all the different panel types which are being shipped in the market. Most of the panels in the market today are in the range of 600 watt and below, most of the residential panels are in the 400 watt range. Our products, which we have been shipping now, the most recent one for almost a couple of years, is rated at 700 watt. Some other attributes on the product itself is that we kept the price the same for the last 4 or 5 years, while increasing the wattage of the product, which makes it the most cost-effective product in the market itself. In comparison, cents per watt keep on coming down, obviously. That's the way the market is measuring the value of those products. We are very happy, if you go to slide 20, to share that over 65% of our customers are repeat customers. They keep on buying our products over and over again, which we are very happy about. Some of the reasons they mentioned that the customers keep on buying it is obviously ease of installation. As I said before, 10 seconds per module of power electronics and about 10 minutes commissioning for the storage solution. It works with pretty much any other supplier, so it's compatible with pretty much anyone in the market. And also, it's an exceptionally reliable product. In the next slide, we provide you some comparison, which is 21, pricing and positioning comparison. So the two major competitors we are playing in with in the modular power electronics space is Enphase, which is a microinverter company, and SolarEdge, both are public. And in the space, to compare apples to apples, from a customer's perspective, if the customer is going to buy the MLP or inverter combination from us or from them, the customer is going to have to pay less than 20 cents per watt for our system and upwards 30 or 40 cents per watt from a competitor's solution offering. In addition, we have some differentiators on the usages and reliability of the module of the power electronics. We have been the first ones to ship the DC-coupled solution in the market itself. As we said, we're compatible with pretty much any other provider. With that, I was going to ask Bill, if you don't mind, to jump into the numbers, the financials.
Sure.
Bill?
So as we move this one. Sure. So as we move to slide 23, we had a record revenues last year with revenues growing 86% to $81 million. Gross margins and operating and EBITDA margins also improved, gross margins improving to 30%. As we move to the next slide, on slide 24, Our booking strength was even stronger. We had bookings of $163 million last year. $96 million of that translated into backlog at the end of Q4, and obviously gives us very good visibility into the 2023 results profile. If we move to slide 25, we have a global set of customers, very diverse set, with one 10% or greater customer and the rest in single digits. The larger set of customers are the distributors who themselves sell to the smaller players in the market. In addition, we have some key relationships with the larger installers, the Sunruns, the SunPowers, et cetera, of the world. And we also have inverter and panel partnerships that enhance our go-to-market strategy. By geography, we have a very large presence in the EMEA region, which comprised 64% of our revenue for last year and 77% of our bookings, with 27% of our revenue coming from the Americas and the remainder is from other parts of the world. So in summary, if you look at slide 26, we're generating significant revenue growth along with bookings growth in the current environment. We have a compelling set of products that we have introduced and a scalable business model, capital light as well, given our use of contract manufacturers and attractive gross margins. I'll summarize things by also pointing you to slide 28. As we announced on December 6th, we entered into an agreement to go public with Roth CH4 Acquisition. They extended their trust in December, and there's approximately $24 million that remains. In January, we did a convertible note offering at 5% covenant light, and that brought another $50 million to our balance sheet. So we don't anticipate having to need any of the staff cash in trust, but whatever remains is obviously sort of gravy for us. We have an enterprise value of $600 million. We believe it represents a very attractive entry point for investors, especially when you compare us against SolarEdge and Enphase. So with that, we'll conclude, and I'll turn the call back over to John.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate the presentation. Matt, can you provide participants on how they can log questions live on the call, and then I'll get the conversation started?
Absolutely. Thank you, John. So everyone on the line, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw the question, simply press star two. So just to remind everyone, please press star then one to queue up for questions. Thank you.
So thanks. I mean, maybe we'll start on sort of the broader market and some of the dynamics there. You mentioned a couple of times really strong growth in Europe. That certainly is similar to comments from particularly SolarEdge, which has seen its exposure to Europe rise pretty dramatically over the last couple of years. Can you give it a little bit more color about maybe what, Europe's sort of a very big place. Any specific countries that you're seeing a lot of success in, areas, regions look out for? Thanks.
Yeah. So actually we see growth accelerating all over Europe. I mean, we see Germany being very strong, Italy, Spain, UK, the former Eastern Europe, Poland, Czech Republic. So we see really the growth being fueled in all over. Netherlands, I mean, I didn't mention, obviously. The acceleration, it has been a constant growth, but the acceleration happened early last year with gas prices, energy prices going up substantially. Some talks about shutdown in terms of power and availability of that, and the market, I must say, has hardly any incentives. It's all based on the fact that generating energy from solar is pretty much cheaper than all other alternatives. So it's the combination of all that stuff which is driving it.
Perfect. Thank you. And maybe I guess one of the other sort of topics that's been an issue. Can you talk a little bit about how how impacted you were by supply chains? I know you have a contracted manufacturing model, but just a little talk about the availability of products and pricing that you're seeing and how that's changed over the last year.
Thank you. First of all, our product, all of our products do not use any custom-made chip. So the first impact from the chip shortages, which really impacted all the suppliers who were using ASICs and other custom-made chips, we avoided. But obviously, we have been impacted by some of the longer time to receive some products, and we've seen our delivery grow from about 12 weeks to about 16 or 17 weeks. Some of that impact was not just the components themselves, but also the actual supply chain, the shipments itself. I mean, we had this incident early last year where we had a couple of vessels stuck in front of Los Angeles Airport for about 2.5 months, and they couldn't offload the goods. So we've seen some of that elongation in the delivery, but it's all coming back to normal. Well, back to about 12 to 14 weeks, and we believe that within the next quarter we'll probably go back down to maybe 8 to 10 weeks or something like that.
Okay, great. Maybe sort of the other topic I'd love to sort of get into a little bit because it's certainly been a focus point is obviously California, which you mentioned, and the changeover to NEM 3.0. Just like to get your thoughts as a participant in the market, how you think that sort of evolves over the next year or two, specifically in the California market.
So, the initial reaction has been that obviously there will be a slowdown as a result. But in reality, what happens is we've seen an acceleration, at least in the last couple, 2-3 months, of orders of people who are trying to beat the date, which is sometimes in April, and make sure that they have all their approvals done beforehand. So the mix of the NEM 3 impact, at least initially, was a bit of slowing down and then an acceleration. I think that what we see that in the overall, it will drive customers to spend a bit more money and get storage, more storage attached eventually, and be much more in control of their destination as opposed to rely just on the grid itself and be more independent. But that might take some time for the market to get re-educated in California.
Got it. Thank you. And then sort of overlap here before I get a Matt for questions online, but we've got a number of emailed questions. Can you talk a little bit more about your relationship? People asking about both the relationship with Sunrun and Tesla, but maybe we'll just start with Sunrun. So I assume they're a direct customer. You sell directly to Sunrun. How much visibility do you have? What's the nature of that relationship? I've got several questions if you just elaborate a little bit on that relationship. Thank you.
Yeah. So as everyone knows, Sunrun is a very strong supplier in the residential market predominantly, and they cover the whole U.S. Market. The relationship we have with them is they're buying some of our technology in the residential market. For us, it was a very strong gain last year. And we've seen them using our products pretty much with any other supplier that they have, and that's what the unique position that we found ourselves in terms of being selected as a supplier. We're having some fairly good visibility into the market growth from the middle of last year and with the projections of here for the next 2-3 quarters. And it helped us quite a bit expand even beyond Sunrun itself as a customer and also potentially look at the possibility of us addressing well beyond the MLPE, which is the main focus of where we are right now.
Got it. And then some people also asking about the relationship with Tesla. I think it's I'll sort of repeat what the email says. It's their understanding that Tesla is making their own string inverters. Is that correct, or you're still a partner with them?
So we are still having a relationship. Most of our relationship with Tesla has been more in the C&I space. We're not competing with the inverter itself that they have. And they still, even in the residential market, they still use other suppliers as well, not just their own.
Got it. Thank you for that. Matt, can we try those questions on the line?
There are no questions on the line, John.
Okay, great. We'll continue with some of the emailed questions. I guess, you know, one of the questions I would have, you're obviously coming into a market, SolarEdge and Enphase, two companies that everyone's sort of very, at least most investors are very sort of aware of. They both have very high market shares. Can you talk a little bit about how you're able to win over the installers? You know, is there a switching cost for them? How much friction is there in switching for the installers and just your general customer acquisition strategy at the installer level?
Sure. So just to give a bit more highlights into Tigo, as I mentioned earlier in my presentation, Tigo sells globally, not just in the U.S. Enphase is most of the revenues coming from the U.S. And in the case of SolarEdge, we're probably more like SolarEdge. So we are clearly number three in terms of market share in the U.S., and I will get into our strategies as to how to penetrate. And I will also address some of those actions and benefits outside of the U.S. So in the U.S. itself, we have been capturing a good portion of the module-level power electronics in the CNI space. Enphase is not playing in the commercial space, hardly any, in the U.S. And we had some easier way to penetrate this market, mainly because we were the leader in the space and number one in the space, and I believe we captured well over 50% market share in the module-level power electronics in the rooftop CNI in the U.S. As far as penetrating the installer and residential, which is a main focus for us, then obviously last year with the introduction of the storage solution, we opted to take a strategy to selectively work with the large suppliers, like the Sunrun, which took us some time to gain any kind of traction, and then we secured the contract, but to really focus on the higher end of the long tail. And so we do a dual strategy in which we've secured the distribution, and then we work with the installers themselves. And what I will say is that what we found is that there is a bit fatigue from the duality of Enphase and SolarEdge in the market itself. And the market was looking really being open for other sources of supply. And I will mention that if we look at the overall success of the introduction of our storage solution last year, from a standstill, just introducing it in Q1 of 22 and the European version in Q4 of 22, about 4% of our revenue came from the storage solution, and about 7% of the booking came from the storage solution. So that has been a fairly successful strategy. In Europe, on the other hand, life is somewhat much easier for us to penetrate, mainly because it's just SolarEdge and us really competing in the space. Enphase is playing only in France and in Germany. So we see much less of a competition from them in the market. And similarly, most of those customers in Europe already are familiar with our module-level power electronics and they're buying it. So we kept on emphasizing to go after those and grab more space on the shelf, so to speak, and on the installation, with all those customers, and that proved to be a very successful strategy as well. So we're aiming at the installers themselves because we don't need to work on the distribution. We have a very strong distribution capability in Europe. We do believe that it's going to grow much faster than our MLPE in 2023, and that strategy is really working for us.
All right, great. And maybe just on the European market, I'm just wondering how much of an overlap there is between sort of commercial installers and residential. You know, there's a small commercial and large residential kind of overlap. Do the installers tend to do both in Europe at a certain level? I'm just wondering, if that's a way to access that market. You win them over on the commercial side, and then, hey, a product also works great in sort of residential.
So, yeah, we do have some fairly sizable number of CNI installations or installers in Europe who do also residential, so they do a mix. It made it easier for us to obviously penetrate the resi market in Europe, as you have indicated. But I can tell you that in addition, in the case of Europe, the largest supplier of the MLPE was really just SolarEdge, and so it was not like the duality in Europe. It was just a single supplier, and we worked with our inverter partners, and we have pretty much all the marquee names we have in our database, and in UL, as an example, we have over 240 inverters from, I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 different suppliers, including SunGrow, GrowWatt, Chint, Goodwee. I can go on and on, pretty much all the names that you know who have been certified with our products, which makes it very easy for us to penetrate, and they actually promote us as well.
Got it. And maybe switching gears a little bit, because there's a couple topics that we haven't really touched on. And I'm going to bring up the current banking situation, which is always a little bit of unfair to bring up, but just several people asking, just as a company, as you sort of step back and think tightening credit availability at the regional banks, particularly in the United States, but also Europe, how do you think about the potential impacts on the resi solar market?
So obviously the first reaction that it might slow down a bit in terms of the customer's ability to actually enjoy the benefits as a result of having some tightening. But we have not seen it yet. So far, we see that from our perspective, and we are smaller in the market growing, our acceleration actually is pretty much the same or very similar here in the U.S. as not quite as in Europe, but definitely faster than the market itself. So, but that's for us directly. As far as the market is concerned, we do hear that there is some tightening or potential discussion about it. But we are small enough not to get too impacted by that.
Great. Thank you for that. And maybe I appreciate your thoughts there. It's obviously an ongoing situation. And the other topic I want to talk a little bit about was obviously another big thing in the market, the Inflation Reduction Act, and there's sort of various layers of support for distributed solar. So maybe just to sort of break it up, there's obviously a 45X domestic clean energy tax credit available. Do you have U.S. Any of your contract manufacturing done in the U.S.? How do you think about potentially doing that, pivoting in the future? I believe both SolarEdge and Enphase have announced moving contract manufacturing to the U.S. to benefit from one to 45X.
So we ourselves are also taking actions. We have two major CMs. Both have activities in the U.S. And the ability to work with us. And right now we're in the process of identifying the physical location. At least with one of them, there is more than one option, several options we're investigating right now. So yes, we are very serious about the IRA. We believe that it will be bringing benefits and to the market, and we do plan to actually increase production both in the U.S. IRA and recently there have been also discussions in Europe on a similar type of an action. And regardless, we are looking at some additional manufacturing in Europe, mainly because of the volume that we see coming from Europe.
Got it, thanks. And maybe just a quick follow-up. I apologize if this was already in the slides, but where is the current manufacturing footprint?
We are manufacturing in Thailand and in China. The majority is in Thailand.
Got it. And then maybe just to sort of expand a little bit on that point, how do you think about the IRA? Obviously, it sets, the ITC back to 30%, gives an opportunity for companies like Sunrun to knock that up considerably higher with domestic content requirements. And so just how you think about that as an impact on demand, how important is it to actually get IRS clarity before we see sort of uptick in demand from customers on both the C&I and residential space? Thanks.
Most welcome. So the general belief is that IRA is going to be have a very positive impact. But as we all know, we are waiting for some clarification. So several companies like Enphase and SolarEdge and others announced already ahead of time and are working through that process, and we are actually doing the same. But I can tell you that we are trying to get more clarification so to know how much to commit and where, so that we are actually getting exposed to the benefits of the IRA, needless to say. We don't want to go and make all that investment and not get the exposed to the potential 6.5 or 11 cents per watt, which is gigantic. It's very big. And on the overall, I can tell you impact on the market, the majority of our interaction with the market itself, we're getting very positive feedback on the offering that IRA has included in terms of the impact of it on the market itself. But there are many different elements going on right now. There is NEM 3 in California. There is IRA, which is positive. There is some which, they're related to the panels, which was not so clear. There is the credit tightening. There are several things moving simultaneously which have both a negative and positive. I believe, and based on what we have seen in interaction, that in the overall, when we leave 2023, it will be at least as good as 2022, if not better, going in the overall. In the U.S., I'm sorry.
Yep, got it. No, that's great. All right, as we're getting close to the top of the hour, Matt, last check on the line.
We have one question from William Griffin. William, please go ahead.
Excellent, thanks very much. My first one was just on the storage product. I think if I heard you correctly, you talked about a 10-minute commissioning time for the batteries. That seems to be quite a bit faster than some of your competitors. Could you talk about, I guess, how consistent is that 10-minute time frame? How do you think about your ability to achieve that relative to your competitors' products?
So, first of all, you heard well. It is 10 minutes, period. I mean, it might be 10 and a half or 9 and a half. I mean, it's not like, not everyone is exactly identical, but it's in the 10-minute range. And we've installed by now hundreds of them in the U.S. and hundreds in Europe. And so it's a very consistent, repeatable phenomena. The way we accomplished it is we have learned a lot as a result of shipping those MLPE and attaching it to all the other systems as to what are the things that installers like and where do we need to actually implement some additional features in the hardware and software in the products themselves to make it faster. I'll give you just one example. When we install a product, let's say in southern Texas, whatever, the grid codes, as you probably know, are not exactly the same all over the U.S. In most of the other system installations, the installer needs to go find the grid code and manually enter it as part of the installation process. We do it automatically. We know location. We've set up the system so it recognizes all the different grid codes. We're holding also a database for updates, and we do it for the customer. He doesn't need it for the installer. They don't need to do it. In addition, the modules of the power electronics devices have to be scanned, so as far as locations. We do a bulk scan, so the installer will take a picture of all the barcodes, one picture of all the 20, 30, 40 panels installed, and we will scan all of them at once. Just one scan as opposed to 20, 30, 40 scans. It saves a lot of time. And I can go on and on and on. So we've implemented many, many, many features that bottom line drive the commissioning time to an average of 10 minutes. Or below, actually. And we measure it, by the way, in our monitoring system. We know exactly when the installer started and how long did it take them. And so in the event that, for whatever reason, someone took, let's say, 11 and a half minutes or whatever, which is still exceptionally fast, we will then go and study what actually happened to try and even further improve our solution.
Got it. Very, very interesting. Appreciate that. I'll turn it back over to John.
Thank you.
Perfect. Matt, any other questions on the line?
There are no further questions in the queue, John.
All right. Well, that works out perfect because we're out of time. So, Ozzy and Bill, I really want to say thank you for being here today and being on the call series. I look forward to tracking your adventure and movement into the public equity markets, and hopefully we can have you on again next year. I will turn it back over to you for final comments and to close the call, but I do really appreciate you being here today. Just a reminder to the participants, the last call in the UVS Energy Transition Call Series for the month of March is tomorrow. We'll be talking about clean energy royalties with Ridgeline Royalties. If you need details to that, please do email me. Otherwise, with that, I'll leave the final word with you, Ozzy, and really appreciate you sharing the tell your story. I wish you all the luck. It's a really interesting company and obviously a fast-moving market. So thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having us and letting us share our story. We are very excited about it. We obviously are demonstrating very consistent growth and looking forward to become public and sharing it more with the public and getting the benefits of that as well. So I'm looking forward to next year or whenever you're going to invite us. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. That marks the end of your call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.